It is the first day of the General Assembly reconvening here at the state capitol in Richmond, and the Speaker of the House of Delegates, who happens to be one of our local delegates, a Republican from Colonial Heights, Kirk Cox, joins us this morning. How you feeling today?
John, good. I mean, we're opening up today, but it'll be our 400th year anniversary, longest legislative body in the new world, and boy, be a chance to be Speaker of such a prestigious body is pretty cool. So I'm feeling pretty good and ready to go.
That is, I mean, that really is a milestone. How are you all commemorating this 400th anniversary?
We have a 2019 commission that is going to do a lot of tremendous events, but the big one for the legislative piece will be July 30th and the August 1st time frame. Mm-hmm. We're going to have a big celebration down at Jamestown, obviously where it all started. We're going to invite every former delegate. We'll have hopefully, you know, maybe the president, the vice president. You know, we hope to have some English officials. So it's going to be a big deal, some congressional folks, and really celebrate where representative democracy started. It's been a challenging but a great history. So to be able to preside over that is going to be pretty good. And we're going to have around 9 signature events all around the state. So it's going to be a good affair.
Yeah, I want to spend some more time talking about that, you know, maybe later in the week.
I'd love to.
But
yes.
You've got a pretty full docket, as I understand, of legislative items that are coming up this year. In fact, the governor, who I mentioned will be on the air with us here starting at 9 o'clock this morning, has I guess his Democrat base is very excited about the things that he has proposed. But boy, based on my emails, he's really riled up a lot of conservatives in Virginia. What issues has the governor put forward that you think there is, let's just start here, where there's some common ground?
Well, I mean, last year we worked on, you know, regulatory reform, which I think is very good. There's a lot of areas, K-12, for example. You know, we don't agree with everything he said, but obviously being a teacher, I think the teacher pay raise is something that is necessary, so we can certainly discuss that. Mm-hmm. I've talked to him a lot about higher ed affordability, and that is something that's good. I-81 is a proposal that, you know, the devil's in the details, but certainly we want to make some progress on that.
And this is the toll road on I-81?
Yeah, but that's the problem. I think the problem is you're going to have to really decide what is the right mix, and that's important because if it's straight tolls, obviously for small business and some of your other people, that's problematic. But uh-huh. The discussion needs to be had. That's a corridor that really anyone that's traveled it knows has gotten pretty bad. So it's good that he has dialogued with us on that. Mm-hmm. The solution won't be easy in a short session, but you know, we've got to work through those. People want us to, you know, try to achieve solutions. I think flipping your question.
I wanted to establish that there were things that you all sure might be able to agree on. But yes, let's flip the question and talk about where there's a disparity, because it sounds like the what we do with the additional revenue that we presume will be in the bank accounts at the end of the year, that's a real point of contention for you.
And that's really what the General Assembly comes down to. The governor proposed $2.2 billion worth of increased spending, and I would say about $1.2 billion in higher taxes. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, basically the middle class should be getting a tax cut if you look at the way the federal taxes were structured. We've proposed that tax cut, which would mean for a lot of middle class folks about $805 a year, and that's pretty big money. I know I always fell slightly in that middle class piece. We got to figure that out first, and so because you got to know what your revenues are before you decide what your spending is. And our growth is pretty good. We can do some key items and do what I consider a key tax cut. And then let me be optimistic here. I'm, you know, I've worked with the governor on things. Look forward to try to working with him on what I think is a fair proposal on a tax cut. So that's going to be the big issue right out of the box, because if we don't decide what the revenues are, we can't create a budget.
Do you think you can get a tax cut signed by this governor? It doesn't sound like that is one of his priorities. I don't want to put words in his mouth, but that doesn't the tax cut element doesn't seem like something that he's focused on.
You know, it's interesting. I do, because if you look at it, you know, it is a tax cut, but it's really money owed the middle class. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is, and very quickly, you know, with the federal tax cuts, when they double the federal standard deduction, we have a very low state standard deduction. So one of the big components of our tax bill is just to allow the middle class to itemize their home mortgages, et cetera. They're not going to be able to do that currently. So the governor would say they have a choice between taking the standard deduction and itemize. They really don't have a choice. They're going to take the federal standard deduction and really lose out on a lot of the itemizations. And that's really important. We've raised the state standard deduction, too. Those aren't far-out ideas. Those aren't pie in the sky. They're very doable, and we can still do some good things. So, yeah, I think it's something we can work on, and we need to work on. People expect us to do that. And that's a lot more important issue than to use some of the base issues he's been feeding.
I real fast before we go, I wanted to ask you about the redistricting decision by the Supreme Court yesterday that did not go in favor of Republicans. And you had petitioned the Supreme Court to allow the elections this year to continue under the current districts as they have been drawn. And the Supreme Court has said, no, you've got to make alternative plans. Where does this stand and what do you do? And does that kind of take the wind out of your sails starting on this first day for that to have happened yesterday afternoon?
You know, we weren't happy, but we weren't surprised. Remember, that was we asked for a stay. And so the lower court has basically asked a master to draw the maps. And we thought you need to stay that because you have confusing two sets of maps. So please remember, that's all the Supreme Court said. They're still going to hear our case in February on its merits. So we still feel good about that. We think the case is very good. So it is something probably that was expected, and we still feel good about winning on the merits of the case. I mean, don't forget, Governor Northam voted for that plan, and so did a majority of not only Democrats, but African-American delegates. It's been a very frustrating process, but we feel that we'll do well in the Supreme Court.
Right. That is an important detail that the sitting governor and a lot of the people who are now claiming that they got a problem with it were supportive of it way back when. Hey, I really appreciate you joining us this morning. I hope that the first day ceremonially and in other ways will go well. Delegate Kirk Cox, the Speaker of the House of Delegates, I look forward to talking to you as the session unfolds over the next few weeks. Thank you.
Thanks, John.